Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 792. It's the 5th of June 2017. On the podcast today, I have Andy Hollingworth, CEO of Toop, that's T-O-O-P, and Andy discusses their recent fundraise and what the money will be used for. Plus, I also have Martin Eales, CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths, and Martin gives an operations update for their rare earth project in Burundi. Plus, I have Hamish Harris, Executive Chairman of Plemos, that's P-L-M-O, talks about their recent investments in Oyster Oil and Gas and why he likes the project. Plus, as always, it's a Monday, so I have Oil and Gas Sector Authority Malky talking about the following stocks: Echo Energy, STX Energy, Amerisol Resources, Algeo Energy. And, as always, I have the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs in the last 24 hours, too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Andy Hollingworth, CEO of Toop. That's T-O-O-P. Andy, thanks for joining me.
Good morning. How are you, Justin?
Yeah, good, thanks. Well, listen, we've got a bit of news out. We'll get that in a bit. Before we do so, for anyone new to the podcast or I've not heard of your business, Andy. Tell them what it's all about. What is Toop about?
Yeah, certainly. Toop.com is an online-first business that is specifically aimed at the small business market in the UK. That's small businesses with less than 50 employees and probably myopically less than 20 employees. And we provide a range of telco services, as I say, in an online-first environment, but not an online-only environment. And we focus on connectivity into business premises, mobile connectivity for people when they're on the road, in a true mobility sense of the word, and latterly cloud-based business telephony. So people can take the office phone system away on the mobile with them with full functionality in a fixed cost environment, one that's easily budgetable and backed up with a great customer experience.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's talk about the weekend fundraise. You raised a bit of funds there. Take us through the highlights, and are you pleased with the results there, Andy?
Yeah, we certainly are. The results have certainly exceeded expectations. The gross raise was 1.41 million, mm-hmm. and net after costs 1.26 million, which means we are well funded for well over the next 12 months. And particularly appealing and interesting, and a huge thanks were to our cornerstone brokers, Turner Pope and Novum, for supporting the fundraise. And then Primary Bid, who raised further funds from the retail market, which has helped us build the awareness of the Toop brand and the growth story in that retail sector.
Yeah, well, you're also relatively new to the market. You've been around for 12 months, had your results out recently. So how's it been so far, 12 months? And we'll get on to what you think about the future. But so far, what do you feel you've made, the progress-wise? Are you happy with it, Andy?
Yeah, I think it's been a really solid 12 months. Number one, I think we've established a brand new brand in the small business market, a brand that was not known a year ago. The business market have undoubtedly accepted a new brand in the market against the big six. And I think that's a validation of that is over 800 small businesses have signed up and are taking services from Toop. Number two, we ourselves at Toop have gained a really deep understanding of our target market, what they want, what they're looking for, and the difference that they want through, B2B, small business packages. And we really now understand that, you know, those small businesses of less than 50 employees and myopically less than 20 employees, we really understand that they want fixed price, budgetable price. They want a scenario where what they order, it just works. And they want simple transparency in their billing. So a really deep understanding. And number three, over the period of the 12 months, we've adapted and executed a marketing strategy to be really highly effective And that was demonstrated in terms of our interim report, our recent interim report, where we've said over the sort of April and May period, and March period, we've seen an 81% growth in orders. And I say a growth in orders at the right cost of acquisition per customer as well. Mm. And that has continued. And with the use of the proceeds from the float, we can then accelerate that and accelerate the growth going forward.
Yeah. So as far as if someone's invested in you right now and they've seen quite an impressive start, you know, to 12 months, it's more of the same coming, is it, you think?
More of the same growth. Always important that it's not growth at all costs. What our marketing strategy has allowed us to do is specifically target our segment, that sub 50 employee segment. Make sure that the brand is there, make sure that the propositions are disruptive, but making sure that the orders come in at the correct price per order and the correct price per customer.
Okay, and excellent stuff. Well, listen, if anyone's listening right now and they're quite impressed, but they're not following you yet on Vox Markets, give us the three bullet points as to why they should hit that follow button, please, Andy.
I think the company is now fully funded for well over for the future 12 months. We're a business where part of our DNA is ensuring that the customers get a great customer experience. That's really important because that results in more customers buying more products and propositions from you and less customers leaving your business because the customer experience is better than the rest and certainly well ahead of the industry average. And that's backed up by Trustpilot scores. We've got a low cost of customer acquisition with a guaranteed annuity revenue. Typically, most customers are taking 24-month contracts off us, and certainly the cloud-based telephony customers are taking 36-month contracts. So good guaranteed annuity revenue in a low cost of acquisition. And I think finally, a business that is very, very low in operating costs and overheads, but a business that is built on the back of automation, which means the business can scale, it can scale its orders, but it doesn't scale its costs. So I think for a opportunity for an investor, and a return on their investment, the business is geared to scale and remain a low overhead business.
Marvellous. Andy, good to chat to you and hopefully speak again soon. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Martin Eales, CEO of Rainbow Rare Earths. That's RBW ticker. Martin, thank you for joining me.
No problem, Justin. Good morning.
Morning. Well, you had an update today, release, an operations update, and we'll go into that in a bit. But before we do that, could you explain, for people listening not aware of what you do, Martin, what is Rainbow Rare Earths all about?
Yes, of course. So Rainbow is a mining development company. We are restarting the Gakara Rare Earths mine in Burundi, East Africa. And rare earths, for those that don't know, have a whole host of industrial uses, particularly focused on exciting technologies and green energy, such as wind turbines, electric vehicles, and magnets for use in motors, computers, smartphones. In fact, a wide variety of uses, and that's why they're so exciting.
Marvellous. And so this update, so take us through it, Martin. Take us through the highlights of this update, please, if you could.
Yeah, the key message is that we are totally on track to deliver our first sales and production in Q4 this year. That's what we want to reassure shareholders. There's lots of progress on the ground in terms of restarting the mine and preparing the site of our processing plant. We've had lots of machines in over the last few weeks. Bulk earthworks are completed. We've got civil contractors coming in very soon to delay the concrete for the pads. And we're rapidly increasing our headcount. At the end of the month, it's now up to 80 local workers we've trained and got ready to work for us on the site. So it's very, very busy, but we're making great progress.
Yeah, and is that offtake agreement still in place?
Yes, of course. Well remembered. We're partnered with the German blue chip company ThyssenKrupp. They're assisting us to sell our rare earth concentrate from Q4 this year. The encouraging thing is, as we put in the announcement, there has been a nice increase in the price. Yeah. Since the start of this year, that's feeding through into discussions we're having with our customers. So, you know, although we like to be conservative in our planning, it's very comforting to see that the market is firming.
Marvellous stuff. Well, you know, Martin, if someone likes the sound of this and the fact that you're on track and everything's going to plan, but they're not yet following you on Vox Markets, could you give them three reasons why they should hit that follow button, please?
Yes, of course. We are a low-cost, low-capex mine. We're going to be producing and selling by the end of this year. That's within 12 months of our IPO. And we're focused on a particularly exciting sector of the commodity space in rare earths. Supply is very, very limited around the world, and we're going to be only the second commercial mine outside of China.
Marvellous. Martin, good to chat to you, and hopefully speak again soon.
It's a pleasure, Justin. Thank you.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Hamish Harris, Executive Chairman of Plemos. That's PLMO. Hamish, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for being here.
Now, if people are not aware of what Plemos is all about, Hamish, could you please explain what the business is all about, please?
Plemos is an investment company on AIM, basically looking at investing in the natural resources sector. I've been a little bit quiet of late for a variety of reasons, but we just made a decent investment in Oyster Oil and Gas, which is a TSX-listed company with licenses in Djibouti and Madagascar.
Okay, and what do you know about these licenses, Hamish?
Well, the Djibouti one's a fairly early stage. The one of particular interest is in Madagascar. It used to be owned, they had 10%, Afrin had 90%. Obviously, Afrin had a few issues. They've managed to get hold of the remaining 90% quite cheaply. so they effectively, it's early stage at the moment. They'll be looking to farm out in the near future. It's onshore, which is great because it means it's cheap to drill and also provides potential for a lot of different farming partners rather than offshore, which is obviously very expensive. They're chasing a target oil in places, billions of barrels. So I particularly like the asset. It's very, very good. It's low cost base. And also comes with a well-known experienced management team, ex-Heritage Oil, which is obviously well-known in the London market.
Yeah, yeah. And so is this the kind of direction, Plemos is going to go in?
Yeah, well, we like certain sectors. We like the oil and gas sector. We particularly like this investment. Gives us a bit of upside potential. Obviously, the terms of the agreement is we get a premium to the potential IPO in London, and we also get a warrant, which gives us a bit of flexibility going forward. We could obviously look at even selling the shares and keeping the equity exposure through the warrants, which would be one way of looking at it. There are other sectors we also like. I mean, we're very keen on particularly cobalt, lithium and nickel. Obviously, for the electric cars are a huge thing, and its demand obviously going to we think will skyrocket. So they're three things we're actually looking at. We're seeing a lot of deal flow at the moment. It's just a matter of picking through that and choosing the right one. But obviously, we're on something that get good retail support, and then we can think we can make a lot of money to shareholders on.
Yeah, yeah, and of course, I mean, it doesn't take a lot to move the needle here because you are pretty much a sub 1 million market cap, aren't you?
Yeah, look, I think there's a lot of leverage here. And if you look at something like Oyster, I mean, look at what Zenith did. I mean, Zenith, another TSX company, much smaller potential oil in place, but a little bit of production. They've come to London. They've traded more in one day, according to the CEOs, than they did in a year in Canada. Yet Oyster's a similar market cap and, massively much bigger oil in place that they have. In our opinion, a far better management team. So, we wouldn't suppose it had a very big run when they came to London if you base that on actually what Zenith have done.
Marvellous. Okay, well, Hamish, if someone's listening right now, they sort of like the sound of this, but they're not following you, give them a reason why they should hit that follow button, please.
Well, I think, as we just said, we've got a lot of leverage. We've also got the ability, people've got the ability to get access to something which they wouldn't have otherwise in the effect of that and get the Oyster, not only the shares, but the warrants, which they couldn't get by buying them themselves. So, if Oyster comes to town, which they've said they will, I think that they can look at potentially a very big uplift and off a very low base.
Marvellous. Hamish, good to chat to you. Hopefully speak again soon. Thanks very much.
Okay, cheers. Bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Oil and Gas Sector Authority, Malky, on a Monday. You all right, Malky?
Yeah, very well, thanks, Justin. And yourself?
Yeah, well, I'm not feeling top of the morning, really, to be honest with you. But, I'll soldier on. I don't know what, I think I'm going to add something dodgy, Malky, to be honest with you.
And, dear.
Yeah,
oh, dear.
It's not going down well. Anyway, what are we looking at stocks-wise, Malky?
Well, I got four stocks today because there's been activity in each of them one way or the other in the last few days. I'm going to talk about Echo Energy, SDX, Amerisa and LGO.
Yeah, well, Echo has been having a nice run of late, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's very exciting at the moment, Echo. There are a number of things there. First of all, they've now completed the funding and cashed up with 26 million quid, ready to go. I mean, that's a huge amount of money for effectively a startup.
Yeah.
I know that they've been having a good look, and they've got a whole bunch of projects on the list, and I wouldn't be surprised to see one coming up pretty soon. They've sort of tilted us in the direction of Bolivia, Brazil and Colombia, so I expect something quite soon there. I'm expecting some management changes, or additions, should I say. There's a CFO meant to be coming up before long, and I'm led to believe a couple of quite interesting surprises on the management front, so no shocks there with the management they've got. I also think that there might be a corporate transaction on the front there. They've always said that, you know, in order, you know, they wouldn't just buy assets in South America. So if they found something which they maybe a quoted company with good quality management, they might do something there. I would expect maybe a 20 to 30% investment in something. So one way and another, I think Echo is going to be a very exciting stock for the next few months.
Yeah, definitely. There's certainly a lot of interest around there from private investors as well. Yep. What's next? Is it SDX you look at?
SDX Energy. You know, I'm a big fan of Paul Welsh doing a great job there. And since I've been away, they've had the results of the South Souk, the flow rates there, which is shows excellent prospects, and the production and the flow was fantastic, and only restricted by onshore facilities there. Primarily, you know, they didn't want to literally blow the field apart, and with Ramadan and so on, it was a very sensible thing. That's going to be most exciting. They've got lots of data now. They'll be able to monetize it quite soon, and so I'm expecting good things. They also announced that they got another piece of quality acreage in Morocco, which is very similar to what they're developing already. So, you know, the SDX story continues to deliver. The team are working on a number of different fronts, and I expect that to continue. They're well-funded. They've got supportive shareholders, very high-quality management. So I'm still a big fan of SDX.
Yeah, and the share price actually dip below that 50-day moving average, which it did recently and bounced off that, but it hasn't done that for a long time. So, you know, it's a, well, if, you know, if the company's going to go ahead and do what it's going to do, you'd suggest it's a good time to look at the stock, actually, you know?
I would very much be looking at it at the moment. You know, it's, as I say, it's high quality, and buy on the dips without any doubt at all.
Yeah, cool. And the next one, Malky.
Amerisa Resources is Colombia, as you know. And while I've been away, we've had sort of news flow thick and fast. In particular, the news from Platanillo 21 has produced very good results there. Their potential is being evaluated at the moment, but that, I'm sure, will add to significant production through the OBA, which is very handy indeed, and very high value barrels they're producing from there, which, according to a conversation I had with John Wardle, who's absolutely first rate, he's feeling very positive about that. Even more important is the well result at Mariposa 1. This is in the CPA 5 block, way north of this, and the flow rate there, 4,600 barrels a day through a restricted choke. It will be sort of potential, huge potential here. You know, the partner there with is already very excited about this. Much bigger production can be seen in this northern part of the country, As far as I'm concerned, they will now almost certainly hit their production targets, 7,000 barrels a day and then maybe 20,000 barrels a day in the longer term. Amerisur has been a bit weak, and earlier in the spring there was a big seller. I think he's out of the way now, I don't know, but Amerisur probably big time undervalued now.
Yeah, cool. All right, marvellous. And the final stock, Malky?
The final stock is LGO, stock that I've never touched. I have to say that, the previous management, not Neil Ritson, the earlier one, is not my cup of tea, therefore I've avoided it. And Neil Ritson was pretty good, actually. He put together a very decent position in Trinidad. But really more important is the new management team which is being assembled. On Thursday I was lucky to meet with and have a long interview with a guy called Leo Coote, who's come in as the new CEO, and also Gordon Steen, who was at Madagascar before. Leo Coote is extremely impressive. His background is top-notch, Shell, and then Tacker. I think he's got the ability to so massively change his company. They've already got superb on the ground in country management, who should do very well. I think that they had a small funding a little while ago. I think it's £2.5 million odd, and they will fund and restructure this whole business. I don't think it's going to be a conventional I don't think they'll go for a placing or even an open offer. Okay. My guess is that it'll be an unconventional off-market funding, quite possibly a bigger company, or should I say a different company, maybe taking a 20-30% interest in this one. No reason why it shouldn't be, because Leo Coote, is obviously a bigger company man. As I say, most impressive, and wouldn't be at all surprised if another company thought he was going to change the situation at LGO. So I'm a bit of a convert here. Mm. Obviously, I'm sort of treating it with a little bit of kid glove treatment because it's been on the banned list up till now. There's fantastic opportunities here, and I think that this could be one very much for the watch list. I think something will happen here sooner rather than later, Justin.
Marvellous. Well, interesting stuff there, Malky. Thanks for that, and have a nice week, and we'll speak next week, fella.
Yeah, very much looking forward to it.
OK, it's time for top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They were at five. Echo Energy, that's ECHO. Malky talked about them earlier. At four, Anglo Pacific Group, APF. At three, Alba Mineral Resources, ALBA. At two, Andalas Energy and Power, ADL. And number one most followed company, been on the podcast several times, Simon. It's 7 Digital, 7DIG. All right, here are top five most liked RNSs. At five, it's Keras Resources, KRS. ASX listing or capital raising complete. At four, Province Resources, PVR. License update, Southern Porcupine Basin. At three, YOLO Legend Technology, YOLO. Further investment in Magic Media Works. At two, Zenith Energy, ZEN. Success of Sidetrack Well at M195 in Azerbaijan. And the number one most liked RNS on Vox Markets the last 24 hours was from Westminster Group, WSG. And that was their final results. Even though they're down a little bit, looked fine to me, as expected, I thought. And very good. It seemed to be gaining progress there. It's WSG, by the way. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.